Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
Today, on Claim Your Excellent Life, we are speaking on the subject of texting and video games are in, and smoking is out. The good news about teens, that they're smoking, drinking, and fighting less. And they're wearing bicycle helmets and seatbelts more as well. However, they're also texting behind the wheel more, which means they are not using their full attention to drive. I know a few teens that are close to me have had accidents because they have been texting while driving. One was a brand new driver at the time, and the other was driving for quite some time. Yet, still, an accident happened. Texting and driving is a bad idea. It doesn't matter how old you are. Your eyes belong on the road. I really don't know how to get you to get your kids to understand this fact, other than to let them know that they do have the responsibility of 3,000 to 4,000 pounds of equipment when they're driving a car, and if they're not paying attention to what they're doing, they can create an accident which can injure themselves, which is bad enough, or injure somebody else, which could be worse. The other thing they're doing a lot of is playing video games. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the results came from a study of 13,000 U.S. high school students last spring. We have a problem with the video games because video games are hypnotic in nature. This means that one can spend a whole lot of time on them and not realize how much time is passing by. So be smart with your kids, and if you're going to allow them to play video games in your home, limit the amount of time that they play and have them play during times when you're available to see what they're doing, especially if they're younger kids. Because I know that video games are being introduced at younger and younger ages. When they're really young, it seems like a really easy way for them to entertain themselves. Just give them your little iPhone or some little video game thing, and they can be entertained for hours. That's great. The only problem is that not only are they using up a lot of their time playing these games, where they could be doing things that are more physical in nature, which is healthier for them, interacting with other people in real-life scenarios instead of fantasy worlds on video games, which would teach them how to share, how to interact with one another, how to build strategies if they're playing team games, and just getting along with other kids. The other problem that I see with them is that there's a lot of violence in these games. And the research does seem to demonstrate to some degree that when kids are playing these video games from a very young age, they really don't understand what these games are really demonstrating in terms of loss of life, you know, because there's a lot of shooting and killing and things of that nature in a lot of these games. Not all of them, but many of them. Given the lack of the development of the prefrontal cortex of the brain, they already have risky behavior. They already don't really understand long-term consequences for impulsive behavior. So be aware of that when you are allowing your kids to play video games. They're also spending a lot of time on computers in general. Now, computers can be very educational, but they do spend a lot of time doing instant messaging, which is kind of useless in my opinion, but the kids seem to like it, same as texting, for whatever reason. I even know parents who would rather text their kids when they're in the same house instead of talking to them, just because it's easier to get their kids' attention. But all this electronics is not a really good thing for these kids. It really takes them out of the eye-to-eye contact, the interpersonal communication that we all need in order to know that we are being responded to in humane manners. What I mean by that is the physical presence of being with somebody who you want to be with. Maybe there's some physical touching that goes on, appropriately touching a hand, touching a shoulder. The eye contact. These are all so very important for development and for feeling loved and appreciated, which is not possible through internet means. Skype to some degree, but it really doesn't make up for being in person. It is one of the reasons that people are feeling more and more lonely, even when they think they're more connected through all the social networks and through the internet. Instant messaging. Now, interestingly enough, on the other side of things, a study that was done by the Center for Disease Control and reported by Dr. Stephanie Zaza says that kids have more healthy behaviors than they did 20 years ago. The percentage of students who smoke cigarettes at least once in the past 30 days, meaning current smokers, was 15.7%. This is the lowest figure since tracking began in 1991. The peak in 1997, was 36.4% of teens were current smoking, so that's about double the amount. It's more than double. Among the teen drivers, 41% had texted or emailed behind the wheel, the same study showed. So we need to realize how our technology may be getting in the way of making good decisions, safe decisions, and to really teach our children by letting them know what is happening here. There are three main types of distraction when someone is driving. Visual would be taking your eyes off the road, manual, taking your hands off the wheel, and cognitive, taking your mind off the driving. So how big is this problem? Well, the numbers that we have go back to 2011, where 3,331 people were killed in crashes involving distracted driving, compared to 3,267 in 2010. An additional 387,000 people were injured in motor vehicle crashes involving a distracted driver in 2011, compared to 416,000 people injured in 2010. In 2010, nearly one in five crashes, that's about, they have 18%, someone was injured involved with distracted driving. In 2011, more than 196 billion text messages were sent or received in the U.S., up nearly 50% from June 2009. So the CDC study analyzed the 2011 data on distracted driver, including talking on the cell phone or reading or sending text or emails behind the wheel. The research compared the prevalence of talking on the cell phone or texting or emailing while driving in the U.S. and seven European countries, Belgium, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, and the United Kingdom. 69% of drivers in the U.S. ages 18 to 64 reported that they had talked on their cell phone while driving within 30 days before they were surveyed. In Europe, this percentage ranged from 21% in the United Kingdom to 59% in Portugal. Texting or emailing while driving, 37% of U.S. drivers aged 18 to 64 reported they had read or sent text messages or emailed messages while driving, at least within the 30 days before they were surveyed. In Europe, the percentage ranged from 15% in Spain to 31% in Portugal. Risk factors, if we look at texting, it takes the driver's attention away from the driving more frequently and for longer periods than other distractions. Younger and inexperienced drivers under the age of 20 may be at an increased risk. They have the highest proportion of distraction-related fatal crashes. Texting while driving is linked with drinking and driving or riding with someone who has been drinking among high school students in the U.S., according to the CDC study. This was based on a self-report from the 2011 National Youth Risk Behavior Survey. The students reported engaging in risky driving behaviors admitted that they did so at least one time in 30 days prior to the survey. Nearly half of all U.S. high school students aged 16 years or older text or email while driving. Students who text while driving are nearly twice as likely to ride with a driver who has been drinking and five times as likely to drink and drive than students who don't text while driving. Students who frequently text while driving are more likely to drink and drive than students who text while driving less frequently. As you may have noticed, many states are enacting laws such as banning texting while driving, especially for young drivers. They're working to raise the awareness about the dangers of distracted driving and to keep it from occurring. However, the effectiveness of cell phones and texting laws on decreasing distracted driving-related crashes requires a lot more study. On September 30, 2009, President Obama issued an executive order prohibiting federal employees from texting while driving on government business or with government equipment. On October 27, 2010, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration enacted a ban that prohibits commercial vehicle drivers from texting while driving. It is a really, really big problem. So, it seems that we go from one problem to another problem. Being a parent means that you need to monitor your kids, and it means that you need to make sure that they are respecting the rules that you're putting down for them to have privileges such as driving. Driving is not a right. It is a privilege. It is very expensive to own a car. It is very expensive to maintain and run a car. And unless the kids are paying these bills on their own, they really don't really understand what that expense is. It is up to you as parents to be very clear with what is expected, why it's expected, and most of all, if you want your kid to do something, you best role model it. In other words, please refrain from texting when you are in the car with your children, because they will do what you do, not what you say. And you know what? That only makes sense. As parents, we need to act in a higher manner of being. We need to be aware of what we are doing and saying when we are around our kids, especially kids who are still in a hypnotic state, meaning that their brain is still very unconscious. This would be kids from 0 to 7, 8, 9 years of age, and it even goes well into teenagehood, because frankly, the prefrontal cortex doesn't fully develop until the mid-20s anyway. So they will be willing to take more risk, especially boys, than girls, because they don't really understand the ramifications of their behavior. These are things that we learn as we grow and gain wisdom. So it's really our job as the adults in these kids' lives to set these rules, these parameters, and really be clear with why these things are important. The most important thing you can say is because I don't want to see you dead. Or I don't want to see you in jail because you hurt someone while you were texting when you had that car accident. Is that what you would like to have happen? And by the way, when you're having that talk with them, you can talk about drinking and driving and doing drugs while driving and all the rest of it. And allow them that this is very, very serious because they could have their lives taken away, either actually through a car crash or maybe a prison term, if the damage done is significant enough. And if they're minors, you know, it may be a closed record, but still their lives are going to be altered in ways they could never imagine having gone through that system in the first place. So prevention is always the best way to go. Have these frank talks with your kids. Do it in a restaurant or in a park or somewhere outside your house. So that's an objective place to be. Do it with loving care and assertiveness. And they will most likely follow your directions so long as they respect you. And the way that you get respected is by doing the things you're telling them you want them to do. I hope you have found this helpful. And please let me know how this has worked in your life. Email me at suzanne@dawningvisions.com. At this time, I would love to introduce you to a fantastic woman whose purpose is to inspire and empower others to be of service to humanity in a loving and caring manner while achieving their aspirations with integrity. Her name is Alicia Lawrence, and she has a podcast called I Live to Inspire. She also has a web blog where you can read the content. She says that everyone has their own definition of success and freedom, and she is moved to inspire you to get there by sharing her journey with you, called The Alicia Lawrence Show, I Live to Inspire, which you can easily find on Stitcher.com and iTunes. You love her warm, comforting Jamaican voice. If you'd prefer to read the content, go to her website at http://ilivetoinspire.com/podcast/. You will truly enjoy and learn much from what she shares with you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.